From her office in Washington, D.C., representative for the state of Wyoming, please welcome Representative Liz Cheney. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hey, Al.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate that very much. And let's get right to it this morning. Here you are, center stage in the national political scene. I want to ask you, when you did the vote to impeach the president, did you anticipate where you would be today?
Well, I don't think that anybody could have sort of predicted all of the twists and the turns. We really are living through unprecedented political times. But I also knew that the vote to impeach was the right vote. Was the only vote that was consistent in my view with the oath that I took. And certainly when you are in a situation like that and you do what you know is right, you're willing to accept the consequences that come with that. And I think that we're living through a time that is really in a lot of ways a perilous one. And I think it's important for everybody, especially those of us who are elected officials, to stand up and do what's right and talk about that and be willing to come home and talk to our voters and our constituents about these issues and my view of the situation.
When you made the vote, Congresswoman, it was obvious the outcome before you cast that vote. You could have ducked that vote, saved yourself all kinds of anguish, all kinds of controversy, probably saved your leadership position. You could have ducked that vote because it didn't matter in the end. Why didn't you?
Because it would not have been the right thing to do. You know, a large part of this, I'm sure, is having grown up with the parents I grew up with, having the love of and the respect for our history as a nation, just the absolute fidelity to the Constitution. And, you know, as a student of history and as somebody who has worked overseas in countries that are run by authoritarian governments, I understood the seriousness and the danger of what happened on January 6th, both to have former President Trump provoked the attack on the Capitol, and then while the attack was underway and people were pleading with him to send help, pleading with him to stand up and tell people who were there to stop, and he refused to do that. And in my view, there's no way you can look at that sequence of events and not find that to be an impeachable offense. If those aren't impeachable offenses, I'm not sure what would be. And so I spent a lot of time looking at the Constitution, the debates around the Constitution, at the Federalist Papers, understanding what impeachment meant and what the framers intended, and there was just no other conclusion but that this was an impeachable offense.
Since that vote, a lot of things have happened, including the loss of your leadership position there in the House. Have you had any second thoughts? Have you had any regrets?
Not for a second. I think that as a nation, there are moments when, frankly, the continued functioning of our democratic process depends upon those of us who serve and those of us who take the oath. And, it became clear over the course of the last couple of months that staying in my leadership position was going to require me to be silent and to be complicit in what former President Trump continues to do, which is to lie about the election. He's betrayed people. He's convinced good people that the election was stolen when it wasn't. And he is using the same words that he knows caused the violence on January 6th. It's a really dangerous moment. He's trying to undermine our democracy. And the same things that he is saying about our system, they're the same things that the Chinese Communist Party says about our system, that democracy has failed, that it doesn't work, that it's a system that you can't count on. And so I was simply, you know, unwilling to do that, unwilling to perpetuate those lies. I think that for us as a party, we have to be able to win in 22 and 24. We've got to be able to stop the dangerous policies coming from the Biden administration. But we can't do that if we embrace the big lie. We have to embrace the Constitution, and we've got to remind people why we're Republicans, remind people of the policies and the substance we stand for.
Historians and political scientists in the state of Wyoming are saying that no one from Wyoming has ever been in the position you are today. That is not to say following policy, but establishing party policy. Where does it go from here?
Well, I think it's a hugely important set of issues that are going to be at the very center of the campaign in Wyoming over the course of the next 18 months as I run for re-election. I think, you know, in Wyoming, we really are going to be at the tip of the spear in our primary on these issues. And the question of whether we're going to stand for the Constitution, whether we're going to put some things above party, whether the Republican Party is going to be strong enough to defeat socialism, to defeat the Democratic policies that are just devastating to our state and our country. And the voters of Wyoming are going to get to decide that in this upcoming election. And I think it's a historic thing. I'm not sure that anything that has been sort of this serious, this level of sort of gravity has been at issue in a congressional race in, you know, as long as I can remember. But I am really committed to continuing to work with folks all across the state, talk to people, talk about my vote, my views, and also the danger we're facing. And have been really heartened and inspired by the support, by the people who understand this is really high stakes, our primary, and the people who are willing to get out and fight for our state and for our country.
Congresswoman, the state of Wyoming has never really experienced the impact of national politics in one of our state elections. Many states have experienced that as the flood of money comes in from all kinds of places. And I think many of us have watched other states as the political ad scene has just plummeted to the depths of ugliness. Do we need to be prepared for that in this election?
You know, I think that, you know, you have to anticipate that may well happen. But I also think another really important issue and message in you know, my House race is going to be the importance of civility and the importance of, you know, boy, there is nobody who will fight harder than I will for our values, for what we believe in, for the policies that make sense for us in Wyoming, for the defense of our constitutional rights. Nobody will fight harder for those things. But our politics has gotten so poisonous and vitriolic. And I think it's really important for us to incentivize across the board, you know, elected officials who are going to argue on substance and policy, fight for the principles, but who don't think of our political opponents as our enemies. I think the country is really badly served when we get into that level of just toxic debate. And I think, you know, one of the things that has always characterized Wyoming, because everybody knows everybody else, we know we can have disagreements, but you know, we, at the end of the day, we are all Americans, and I think we really need to remember that as we go into this election cycle particularly.
It can be argued going into the last presidential election, the Democratic Party was in shambles. And now it can be argued that coming out of the election, the Republican Party is in shambles. Is the political system about to explode?
I don't think so. I'm more optimistic than that. I mean, I think if you look at the Democratic Party, they've got a bunch of challenges. They've got a far left wing that is pulling all of them very far to the left. You know, Joe Biden said he was going to govern as a moderate. He said he was going to govern on a bipartisan basis, and we've seen just the opposite. You know, he requested $6 trillion in new spending in his first 100 days in office, and of course he, you know, imposed a ban on oil and gas drilling on public lands. He's got this, you know, disastrous 30 by 30 proposal that, you know, would put even more of our lands under federal government control and off limits to multiple use. He's taken steps that would limit and infringe our Second Amendment rights, our First Amendment rights. So the Democrats are being pulled very far to the left. I think in the Republican Party, you know, we have what we've been talking about, which is we have to make a decision whether we're going to let ourselves be drugged backwards, you know, in a way that is fundamentally anti-constitutional, or whether we're going to rebuild our party focused on substance and policy. And, you know, I really believe that we're going to do the latter. And we have tremendous, tremendous, you know, elected officials across our state and in Congress. They tend to be the people in the House of Representatives, the serious, responsible people, sometimes don't get the attention they deserve. But we have a great bench and great future leaders, and I'm confident that we can in fact rebuild the party and be victorious in the upcoming elections.
As we watch the national media, and Congresswoman, you're all over it. You made the Sunday morning talk show a cycle and everywhere. It appears that it is Liz Cheney against everybody else. Are you a lone soldier here?
No, I'm not. I think there are many, and I know there are millions of people around the country. I've heard from more of them than I can count, both around the state and around the country in the last several months. People expressing support and gratitude that, you know, we are going to try to take the party in the direction of substance and policy. I also know, you know, that in the House, a number of my colleagues share my views. A number of them have been public about that. You know, we are at a moment, and it's true, you know, before the impeachment vote, I had members of Congress tell me privately that they thought that the president should be impeached, but they were afraid they might put their families at risk from a security perspective if they voted to impeach him. You know, that's part of the perilous nature of this moment we're in. So I'm definitely not alone, but I also, you know, one of the things that I learned from my parents and that, you know, certainly is a value that Wyoming stands for is having the courage of your convictions. And, you know, when you're right, you have to stand up and do what's right and stand for your principles. And, you know, being right sometimes means that, you know, You're the loudest voice out there if you're standing on principle, but it's really important. And as I said, I know there are many, many people around the country and the state who share this view and who are willing to fight for it.
The Republican leader in the House, Kevin McCarthy, has recently said, on one hand, he doesn't think there's anybody in the land that doubts the validity of the election, which seems to be different than what he used to say. And he's now come out against the commission, the proposed commission to look into the events of January 6th. Your reaction?
Well, I think, you know, clearly we see on a daily basis former President Trump continues to challenge the validity of the election. With respect to the commission, we're going to be voting on that later today. I believe it is very important. I think if you go back to, you know, after the Pearl Harbor attack, after the Kennedy assassination, after 9/11, our nation always forms bipartisan commissions that can look at what happened in a way that is above politics. I mean, maybe it should even be called a nonpartisan commission, because politics should have nothing to do with the nation trying to get to the bottom of a crisis and making sure it doesn't happen again. And I think that's very important. I think Leader McCarthy has clearly got a conflict when it comes to this commission. You know, he has said publicly that he, you know, was on the phone with President Trump while the attack was happening. And I think that, you know, he has information that the commission is going to be very interested in receiving. And I think that, you know, when he continues to say he opposes the commission, people are asking, including people inside the Republican conference, why is he opposing this? I think part of it is President Trump doesn't want the commission for the same reason. And I think that, you know, we have an obligation to support this commission. It will pass. There'll be, you know, the sufficient Democratic vote for it to pass, but I think it's very important for the Republicans for us to support this too. The Democrats essentially agreed to all of the requests that the Republicans made in negotiating this bill. So it's a bipartisan bill, a good bill. I hope it'll pass the House with a good bipartisan majority, and I hope it will also pass the Senate.
All right. You promised me 15 minutes. I'm going to acknowledge that and say I've had my 15 minutes. Thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time in a very busy schedule.
Well, always wonderful to be with you in Iowa. Look forward to seeing you in person in the next couple of weeks. So thanks so much for the time, Al.
Thank you. Our guest this morning, Representative Liz Cheney, a lone congresswoman from the state of Wyoming, discussing the current affairs of today. We're 16 past the hour of 8 o'clock, and thanks for joining us this morning.